Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's freaking go. The playoffs are here. Andy's here. I'm here. We have a lot to get to a little bit later. We have some low-key quarterback plays of the week that you will enjoy. We're also going to give you your playoff predictions. But at the beginning of every episode, we start with one general topic where we look at each and every one of you to give your guys' expertise opinion to us. And Andy, today's general question is, have you ever set up as a vendor at a card show?
And fail. I'm a complete failure when it comes to this category, but I understand this. I'm aware that I absolutely need to get out to card shows, more card shows, and set up a table. Like, I want to actually go to the card show, set up a table, network, negotiate, bring my cards and make some cash deals, avoid the 12% eBay fees and uncertainty around, like, you know, transaction or final. You get to physically inspect this card from top to bottom, front to back, as much as you want right in front of me, and let's make a deal. Maybe even a trade. Like, I'm open to some of the tradings as well. And you just went to a card show this past weekend, Carter, and I find it fascinating when you actually set up a table what you can accomplish.
So comment down below, because it was my first ever time. We know we have a bunch of really diehard hobbyists. Give us not only if you have, but also if you are a successful vendor, give us your best tips for people that are interested in doing this. Now, Andy, I've been to quite a few card shows, and this was the first ever time that I've actually set up as a vendor. Now, I'll share more in the outtakes a little bit later what made this experience unique to me, but this card show was the Arklatex card show in North Louisiana. Shout out to Ty, Sean Michael, Wade, and everybody there that had me set up there. I was also there to interview athletes for my LSU football YouTube channel, and there were athletes there signing, but I was also as a vendor. I do think it's important to have somebody extra with you as a vendor, because there is theft. There are times where you want to go around and look at the other showcases. So it's important to have somebody else there with you. Whether they are interested in cards or not is a different story. But if you do have a buddy, give them a good card, pay them, do whatever. I had a close friend go with me, and it made it a lot easier. That would be my one big tip. And my second big tip is do it. I really enjoyed it, right? And you get really good deals. One deal was made by a vendor just sitting right next to me, a Barry Sanders autographed card. He actually gave it to me for some PHL merch, which was kind of wild to me, but he knew that, you know, I was sharing a story about Barry or whatever. But setting up at a show, I highly recommend you doing it. Now, of course, you need inventory. You need things that people would be interested in, and also the market you're in. I have a lot of LSU cards, so I know in North Louisiana there's going to be a lot of LSU buyers, so that's also very important. But I do think, once again, it depends on the price. It depends on, you know, when you can get to the show, how many days the show actually is. But I do think, Andy, it is worth setting up at a card show.
Do you feel that it would be advantageous, or do you feel you'd have an advantage at a card show? Say if you brought a box like this, and this is full of base mosaic Justin Jefferson cards, right? really hyped up guy in the playoffs now, but it's his base cards, and I could really only sell these on eBay for a couple dollars a piece. And when you add in overhead and the fees, you really eat into a lot of any type of profit margin. It's a lot of work. Now, if I brought this whole box to a card show, do you think that people at the card show, other dealers, maybe customers and buyers, shoppers, would be interested in like making some type of bundle deal on stuff like this?
Yes, and I also think, and this is very key as well, I also think they are good freebies, right? Like if, for instance, if someone bought for me, I included a Justin Jefferson, a Joe Burrow, or like a lower end auto of like a current LSU player. I love giving extras, right? Because, you know, when people buy, they might have other kids with them and you're giving like cards out to kids. I think that's always good if you're a dealer. Just have some base cards that you give to kids. I gave out so many. I brought a big box of them. This was actually an extra box that I bought, and it has like a bunch of like a lower end Joe Burrow card like that. Right. What it's like, maybe $2 or $3 off eBay makes a kid's day. So, yeah, you know, it's easier to get those bundle deals because other dealers want to do the same thing and they want to give out like little extras. It's also important to always have a dollar box there where people can search through. And I also think it's smart in that dollar box to put a random $5 card in there, a $10 card in there, or if that person finds it. You know, it makes them feel wonderful about life. Even if you only sell it for, you know, a dollar, it makes them more interested to look at some of the other stuff that you may have in your showcase. But most people don't want to dig through boxes. And this is another vantage point as someone that has never been the dealer. When I went from table to table trying to sell some of my inventory or trade it, they just weren't as interested to go through all my stuff as they would be if I was just set up. Because a lot of other dealers, kind of like the Barry Sanders deal, he saw that I was also like a dealer. If you will, I'm not like a real big time dealer. It made it easier. It honestly made it easier to make deals that you had your own setup with your own thing just set out. Because if people keep walking around and they just keep looking at it, they're like, you're just going to keep going back to it. If you're carrying around a case, you know, you don't have that same visual. So, So I do think it's worth it. And it does make it easier to make like a deal on like some smaller base cards as well.
Yeah. You're also motivating those kids to tell their friends, hey, this guy's got $5, $10 card stashed in the box, man. Right. Go hunting, go mining. That's like the kid's dream right there. I remember when I was a kid going to the card shop, hunting in there, $1 and $5, or even as an adult, the last time I did go to a card shop, that's like I went directly to the guy's giant football card box to see what he was devaluing in there, like what he thought was, you know, $1 or $5 card. And I actually ended up finding like a couple silver prism, Travis Kelce, like different stuff that I knew was worth a lot more than $1 that I was paying for them.
Yeah. So please, we need your expertise because Andy's never done it. I am a first timer, and once again, it was a very unique experience because I also had to bring my camera and set up and do a show from there, like an actual like YouTube show. So it was a little bit different for me than just being a full-time dealer. We know we have a bunch of really smart people that have been in this hobby way longer than we have. Comment down below. If you're just listening to this, shoot us a message on Twitter or Instagram if you have any tips. We'll happily share with our wonderful football audience. Now, before we get into our playoff predictions and some other card buying opportunities, Andy, we got to let the people know about the Card Shop Live, baby.
Oh, yeah, man. Incredible live streaming, box breaks, singles auctions, and original hobby content, guys. And really cool thing, we are doing we have a description in the link below. So first of all, I'll tell you guys how to sign up. We have a link in the description below that you click on. It'll take you there to sign up. And the Card Shop Live will know that you signed up through our link and you will be entered into a giveaway and also get a small credit in your account to go ahead and get your Card Shop Live journey kicked off with. And check it out. Their web app and their phone app is incredible. And we will be collaborating in the near future with some folks from over there. That's really exciting. So make sure you guys check that out. Link in the description below.
Card Shop Live, baby. Make sure, once again, you've got to click the link down below. Okay. Now, before we get into some of our plays of the week, looking at some quarterbacks that have already got their bags packed to Malibu. I just love the look on your face. You're like, Malibu? When are we going to Malibu? Let's give our playoff predictions now, Andy. I am going to roll with, I know it's kind of weird saying this, my Bengals. I think Joe's going to get the job done this year. And I am going to predict Bengals versus the, God, who are we rolling with here? Let's go Bengals and Justin Jefferson and the Vikings. Kirk Cousins shocks the world in primetime games. Let's go Bengals Vikings in the big one.
Man, if that's the case, we may finally see Kirk Cousins' rookie card values get the respect that they should arguably be due. But yeah, man, interesting prediction. I will say the Bengals do have an upper edge right now against a couple of these teams, and especially Kansas City. So I'd be very interested to see how the seeding works out between Buffalo, Miami, and then Jacksonville and the Chargers. But Jacksonville and the Chargers are both, I think this is probably, besides the Tampa Bay game, because, you know, I'm a Tampa Bay, you know, lifer. Besides the Tampa Bay game, I think this Jacksonville Chargers game is so interesting because these teams are so close. Plus, you have, you know, Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Herbert, right. Two of the hottest guys in the hobby going back to, you know, their rookie seasons. So, yeah, I am actually... You know, I don't know if it's like, you know, maybe I should go with the homerism here too. You went with Cincinnati versus Minnesota. I should go with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think they're going to be playing Buffalo. I think Buffalo is actually going to get there. They're, you know, Nyheim Hines kickoff returns. I mean, you see how shook up Josh Allen was. I think that team is, I don't know, man. They're riding on some DeMar Hamlin magic or something. It's going to be interesting. And there's not a whole lot of like analytical, I guess, statistical analysis around that. I'm kind of going with my home team versus Buffalo, and because they've been so hungry to get to this Super Bowl for the last 3 years, that I think they finally break through and get there. So,
yeah, I think if Tua was playing, I mean, that would be like 1-7, the strongest like quarterback collection we've ever seen in one playoff series. Obviously Lamar's health is mixed in there as well. So from a hobby perspective, it is very juicy on the AFC side with, you know, football cards. In the NFC, I mean, it's very interesting, right? Jalen Hurts, Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones. And then we get Brady, and then we get Dak, and Dak is playing like trash right now. So honestly, you know, the only real question on, I just laugh because like Brady might actually get Tampa Bay to the big game here. It would not shock me if Tampa Bay actually makes this run. And we all know the Cowboys are going to lose this game, even though they're slightly favored. So I like those picks. Let us know what you think also in the comments section. But Andy, from hobby perspective, outside of, you know, the AFC versus NFC quarterbacks, what really stands out to you in that playoff field?
Yeah, so I'm looking at our players tab here on our Keep 'Em Football Card Prices web app. This is tracking all graded football card sales through eBay. And what this shows me is that Joe Burrow right now is incredibly hyped up. His values are going up arguably the most across any of these guys, and he's a guy that already, you know, has been climbing in value the past several weeks. But you can see he's leading the charge here by over 140 graded rookie card sales in the past week, and that's over Trevor Lawrence at 425, and then Justin Herbert at 366, and then Jalen Hurts at 208. And so you can see him leading that charge. There's a lot of people believing that he will get back to the big game, and he's playing so incredibly well right now. The favorable matchup against the Ravens, so his prices are going up a lot, and he's getting a lot of demand, which leads to price increase. But if I look at the most sold cards in the past 30 days, I'm actually seeing a lot of new buyers for Justin Herbert now that he's actually made the playoffs and the first time in his career, right? And you got Herbert as one, two, three of the top eight most sold graded football cards in the past 30 days.
I think the most fascinating AFC quarterback here, obviously, you know, Burrow, Herbert, we get that. I do think it's Josh Allen, though, because, you know, the gap between Allen and Lamar Jackson has always been so interesting. They came out in the same class. So there's always that. Josh Allen, just his prices get so high sometimes that it seems as if, like, Super Bowls and MVPs are already baked in to his price, right? When I see, you know, rookie ticket auto PSA 10s for Allen go in the 6K range, can that go up any more than it already is? Like, I think that's very fascinating. So I think, you know, from a Bills.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Perspective, if Josh Allen was to get in the Super Bowl, Andy, I would be very fascinated to see how much higher his football cards could actually go.
Yeah, I am too. And I think they can go higher only because when I compare Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes, which coincidentally, Patrick Mahomes has a higher pop count on Take His Optic, for example. His base Optic PSA 10 is a $1,000 card. And sure, that is down from the all-time high of Patrick Mahomes back in, you know, Super Bowl time of 2020 or even championship game time of 2021, you know, but he has actually increased quite a bit. This card's up 12%. It's got a very healthy demand. It's got a healthy population. And you look at the Josh Allen optic from 2017 to 2018, there wasn't really a big jump in print run like we saw from 2019 to 2020 or even 2020 to 2021. There were big jumps in both numbers of variety plus print run. And in 2017, 2018, there wasn't that. So, you know, to see this big of a difference between Josh Allen and Mahomes, this is just because I think Mahomes is the clear favorite for MVP now. He beat everybody in passing yards by over 500 yards, plus they clinched the number one seed, and they are the favorites right now. But if Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills beats them out somehow and makes it to the Super Bowl, I do think Josh Allen's cards could go up. It's going to be hard to know how much they could potentially go up, but I do think that they definitely go up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just crazy. You know, he's lived up to this hype. And it's interesting, and it's very important to remember this. Josh Allen had one of the best two-game playoff runs we've seen in NFL history. I mean, last year he was so, like, you could make the case, how much better can a quarterback actually play than he did versus, you know, the Chiefs and the Patriots, Bill Belichick, you know, the greatest defensive coach of all time. He scored on every possession. And then next week, you know, he gave 13 seconds. That's all you needed, 13 seconds, and they couldn't get it done. So, yeah, I mean, if he plays as well as he did and he actually does make the Super Bowl, I agree. I think it can go up. It's just, you know, I kind of hope it does, Andy, because I know a lot of people that have spent money on him and have bought him at such ridiculously high prices. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see if Josh can actually, you know, get the job done. And I think from the NFC perspective, Andy, that's very fascinating. The quarterback that stands out to me is Dak. You know, Dak is not playing well right now. I think he can be an elite processor. I think he can be, you know, a really good quarterback. But, man, the way he played versus Washington this last week gives me a sour taste in my mouth. And something else that's very interesting is the Cowboys, when they play on grass, they're a different team than when they play on turf. Well, they're going to Tampa, another grass field. So, Andy, I guess my question for you would be, do you think the hobby has ever really just grabbed a hold of Dak as a true QB1?
They did back at the beginning of the 2020 season. There was a ton of hype, but what happened? He broke his ankle and missed the rest of the season. And so that injury hurt his stock. And then he came back and he's never really been quite the same. He's never got back to that hype level. He's never really performed quite the same. He's definitely hasn't rushed the ball as much as he used to. And his performance is very much up and down, and it's very much tied to how deep are they going to make it in the playoffs. I could definitely see his cards go up if they make it, but it's got to be like a championship game. It's got to be deep. You know, it's got to be deep, Carter. I don't think this initial wild card round, if they beat the Bucks, I think it'll go up just a touch, but it's not going to really appreciate much compared to where they're at now. And you can even see that in the past 30 days, the base Donruss PSA 10 from Jared Goff has sold more than the Dak Prescott. Granted, the Jared Goff has a lower resale value of around $30 and the Dak around $82. But still, I mean, that's kind of where Dak is at right now. If you compare this to Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry is actually up there with the same resale values as Dak Prescott. So that just goes to show you, man.
That's kind of wild to me. I still love that people have respect for King Henry like that, but you're not going to win if Josh Dobbs is your quarterback, right? So very interesting stuff there. Now, before we move on here, we're going to have a lot of outtakes for you. We talked a lot before the mic actually started getting hot. I do want to shout out the Fantasy Football Card Quest and the Football Card Quest Network. We are growing. Andy, you're still putting out dope content. And if you want more detailed breakdowns, patreon.com/footballcardsbaby.
Yeah, check it out, guys. We have a rapidly growing Discord. It's very active, and we probably have like 15 different channels in there. We got some fun games going on in there, a lot of collaboration and discussing back and forth. I mean, like pretty much 24/7, like there's always some guys in there chopping it up. And then, yeah, I put out bonus written content on Patreon every week, where I dig in deep on one specific guy and present a variety of their listings that I would actually myself target. And I share my thought process for the community. And then, yeah, you get access to the web app, and we do a monthly giveaway and all kinds of other good stuff. So definitely check that out. You'll way exceed the value you get just based on the very nominal fee that it is per month and everything.
So something else we've been doing, if you are watching this right now, we do premieres of this video. So make sure you stay tuned. You can actually chat with other football card questers. It's free whenever we do a YouTube premiere. So that's why I got to make sure you got the notifications on. So I enjoy it. Hector always kills it in the chat. We sometimes see Jonathan Taylor cards in there as well. We absolutely love the discourse while the episode actually plays. Now, we get into the hobby tip of the week. Andy, mine's going to be brief here really quickly, and it kind of goes on with the first topic of today is setting up at card shows and just in general going to card shows. I think it is the best part of the hobby. The more I think about it, the more I think it is the best. In-person fellowship is crazy. What people don't know is that you and I have never met. We've never been in the same room together. I've made mutual friends through this friendship that we have with Brad Nolan, who's a big fan of ours. I got to meet with him and hang out with him in Chicago and his lovely wife, and he is one of the coolest people I've ever met. So, you know, you build these connections and you never actually get to see these people in person. That's the fun part. So go to shows. It is a lot of fun. Yes, there's theft. Yes, there are sometimes boxes full of cards that aren't even close to comps and dealers don't want to come down. Yeah, that could be frustrating, but it's still better than searching eBay and not being able to see every minor defect of the card. Andy, if the card is right there in your hand, there's no excuses, right? You could still look up comps. You could still, you know, do whatever. You could put the card down, walk around, look at comps, look at other cards, and then come back to it. It might be gone, but, you know, I do think the in-person experience is always the best experience. And what's also pretty cool about card shows is if you do want to get a big deal done, if you do want to buy a higher end card, well, more than likely you're not going to get shanked in that room. So it's also a very, you know, safe experience. Most card shows are like that. So I'm a big in-person guy just in general. So go to card shows.
My hobby tip is going to be, if you can't go to card shows, right, and you're selling through eBay, you know, when you get a package in your hands, what's the first thing you do once you get that card out? A lot of times you're trying to pick with your fingernail, get that blue tape off of the top loader, right? So this hobby tip is going to be shout out to McSnow21. He's a patron member. He posted this in our eBay tips and tricks channel of our Discord server. So I'm going to share this with you guys. He creates a little tab, just like an eighth of an inch tab on the bottom of the painter's tape so that you can easily grab onto it there and peel it right off. There's no digging at it. If you don't have fingernails, it's okay. You can still get this tab off. I know a lot of us guys keep our fingernails trimmed extremely short down to the nubs, and it can be really hard to get that blue painter's tape off, especially if it's a little stickier variety. But this little tab just, man, you know, makes it super easy to get off, and just a nice little hobby tip for you guys.
I love that. I never thought of that. That's so cool. Which patron was this?
McSnow21.
McSnow. I love it, man.
He calls it a buddy tab.
A buddy tab. There we go. That's good. So shout out to you. Shout out Kaladesi and everybody in the Discord. Now, before we get into the plays of the week, I want to give another shout out to Andy, aka Steve Aoki. He's got the new light show in the background. I was hoping we could go the full episode without, you know, mentioning it, because it is so beautiful. It doesn't need an introduction, but I love it. Look at you. Oh my God. Look at that. I like that one. Look at that. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
yeah, you know, I got to jazz it up. I love how it illuminates around the cards and stuff, and it adds a nice little flair, man. It's very, very affordable. We got to probably hook up your little display back there, Carter.
I know. It's interesting. I just can't get over that. I love that you, and here's the thing: you're a super dad, man. You had to build a treehouse, and you had to build that. Had to get the lights out.
I'm a builder, dude. I love building stuff.
There you go. I love that inquisitive mind, baby. Now we get into plays of the week. My play of the week is Kyler Murray, right? If for some reason the Cardinals are able to convince Sean Payton to be their coach, Kyler Murray cards are going to go up. I have a tough time not believing that. Kyler's dirt cheap right now. I was looking for him this past weekend. Ironically, the only big Kyler I have was bought at the same show, but months ago, before this year. I'm still a believer. Yes, he's not affable. Yes, he has former teammates that are well-respected, like Patrick Peterson, that call him out. Yes, it was a tumultuous, dysfunctional end here with the Cardinals run of Cliff and Steve Keim. But if for some reason a big time coach goes there, watch out for Kyler Murray. And look, he's one of these guys that when he's on, he's going to have like these top two or three fantasy performances that will get people spiking his cards based on performance. So look, I mean, rookie ticket auto, PSA 9 for, you know, 350.
Silver Prism.
Silver Prism also. And it's, I mean, a Burrow of that exact card is what, 2K, 3K, I'm guessing, minimum? Actually, way more than that. So, yeah, I'm still a Kyler believer. Not necessarily he's going to win like 12 Super Bowls. He's still young. He's still got a big contract, and he's going to give you spiked weeks. So, Kyler for me is my play of the week.
And check it out. Just from the firing of Cliff Kingsbury, his cards have just bounced back just a tiny bit, but they're still so cheap. I mean, this if you go and look at his base Donruss PSA 10, which is the most popular, almost has a 5,000 PSA 10 pop report. And look at the one-year chart. Like, that card was, you know, a $100 card back in March and close to it coming into the season, you know, right around there. But it's just tanked since then. And it's bouncing back just a tiny bit here to like $30, $35 to $39 from the news. So I do see people, you know, reestablishing their faith in Kyler Murray now that Cliff Kingsbury is fired. And I think he's just such a plus EV play. You know, we talk about plus EV moves. He's got such a high probability of hitting based on his athletic profile. He's so explosive. He's so dynamic on the field that, and he's got a lot of time left. A 2019 rookie as a quarterback. I mean, the guy's got another 10, 15 years left in the league and still a lot of time to drive some fear of missing out. And I think his cards do go up next year. So I love that play. Love it, Carter. Love it, Carter. I think if you're making a playoff play now, my favorite one is still out of this Minnesota-New York game. I think you could pick either Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins. I think both of their cards, from looking at the data, are still very undervalued. If you think one of these teams is going to advance, which obviously one of them are going to advance, but it's interesting. I think Daniel Jones earns him a new contract next year with the New York Giants, and you've got to have a lot of confidence in Brian Daboll. Maybe they now are in a situation to draft some receivers.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
And some, you know, deeper talent on their defensive secondary. And all of a sudden, next year, under second-year head coach Brian Daboll, who probably is going to win Coach of the Year, you've got Daniel Jones coming out firing on all cylinders. He's going to be hyped up in September after finishing this year as one of the elite rushing quarterbacks of the league and also still being very accurate. And I'm still seeing, like, card prices for him just very, very affordable. In fact, you can compare him to Kyler Murray. I think that's a great move to compare, see where these guys are at. And look, I mean, his base Donruss, and this is a guy in the playoffs on a big market team. If they advance, I think this all of a sudden goes up to a 30, 40% increase. These cards start going up to 50, 60. If they advance again, watch out. You know, now you start to get up into that realm where, you know, Daniel Jones is putting up these 100-plus rushing yard performances, a couple touchdowns, and he's just doing this with, you know, him and Saquon Barkley as a focal point and a couple ragtag wide receivers. I mean, I think Giants fan base is going to really start reaching out for some more expensive Daniel Jones cards.
So my Super Bowl pick earlier today was, you know, Bengals-Vikings. Obviously, I'm very hopeful for that, right? Not going to happen. I mean, Minnesota's secondary is so bad, so that kind of adds into your Daniel Jones thing. Minnesota can make your quarterback look freaking amazing, and I hate it because there's a lot of LSU flavor in that secondary. So yeah, you know, if I have Daniel Jones cards, I'd make sure I get him listed because he could go off this week. I would also make sure I have my Saquon Barkley cards listed before this week because I do think Minnesota's defense is the worst left in the playoffs. So there you go. Be very, I like you changed it to blue. I like that. but yes, the G-men, baby. But I do agree. I think Daniel Jones will get that extension, and that is the power of Brian Daboll. I said last year the Bills should fire McDermott and hire Brian Daboll. Obviously, McDermott is still a great coach. I really just think Daboll's a very special coach, and you're right. He's probably going to win Coach of the Year. So even though it should be Shanahan, still, Brian Daboll did an amazing, amazing, amazing job.
I would give one more play, Carter. High EV play. Another one is Jalen Hurts, right? If you're looking for a team that has a clear edge and a high probability of advancing to the championship round, with the way the seeding is done, the Eagles are going to play the bottom seed of one of these matchups. So it's likely that they'll play maybe Tampa, Dallas, maybe New York or Minnesota, depending on who advances, because San Francisco's got a clear edge over Seattle. So depending on who makes it out of this wild card weekend, Philadelphia's got a pretty favorable matchup regardless, right? So I think they make it to the championship game. And if that's the scenario, then Jalen Hurts' values definitely go up from where they're at. They flatlined the base Prism PSA 10, like a $130, $40 card. That's lower than the Herbert and Burrow. So we could see them make it to the big game. I think that's a plus EV play as well right now on Jalen Hurts, because he has cooled off quite a bit after missing those two games. And this past week is like just enough for them. And he threw that ugly pick six too. So they did just enough to get that win for their seeding and everything. But his market is definitely, it's cooled off right now. I think it's an interesting play for immediate flip.
Yeah. And once again, these are two Super Bowl windows for the Eagles. It is impossible to not see how good this roster is and not think that they won't be heavy favorites to win the NFC South again next year, or at least favorites to make the playoffs again next year. So if you do buy Jalen, let's just say they're one and done this year, they're bringing him back. I mean, there's no questions about it. He's been that good. And once again, I'll keep saying it. It's been probably one of your top five most profitable players for you, Andy. Jalen could play, man. He could play. I know he's got the best supporting cast in the sport, but the dude can flat out freaking play football. And yeah. Great show today. Once again, a lot coming up in the outtakes from so many different angles. And don't forget, you better like this channel. I feel like we're starting to hit something here. So, yes, comment down below. Have you ever been a vendor at a card show? Even if you haven't, let us know if you're interested in doing it. There's going to be a lot of people down there giving a bunch of tips and tricks if you do want to actually take the plunge and do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in today. And subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. What are you doing? We'll see you next time. Peace.
And one more thing. Dallas Card Show. I'm going to be there this weekend. Shoot me a message. If you don't, I'm going to throw it in the Patreon group. If you're going to the Dallas Card Show, once again, I am at Card of the Power on all social media platforms. Just hit me up on there. And we will connect. Until then.
Let's go. Yo.
What up, man? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? I can't wait to do today's show, man.
Yeah? You pumped?
Well, I mean, I just had the best weekend in my hobby life. This past weekend at the Arklatex card show. It was great. I actually filmed a lot of stuff I'm going to send you. I did a lot of first-time things, and you can cut it, use it, anything you want. I did a whole, like, video on the, like, DCI raw card review stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were set up, like, right next to where I was set up. So just to give you like a quick, if you're interested, if you want me to share this with you, do you want me to share this with you?
Please. Yeah, please. Yeah.
So it was a little bit weird for me because like I was there to do two separate things, right? So there were two elite recruits that signed with LSU. And now, you know, with NIL, they can, you know, autograph cards and make money now as high school and collegiate players. And you know, I was there to interview the athletes. So I had to do that. And then I also had a card set up for, you know, me to do some buying, trading, and all of that. So it was a little bit different, you know, it being in North Louisiana. And a lot of my viewers were also going there, not for cards, but just to, you know, meet the athletes and hang out with the channel. So it's a little bit of a different experience than like if you were just, you know, set up at a card show. But this was also the first time I had ever set up at a card show where I had a table and I had my cards displayed out. And I did not think it would be worth it, right? I've never really thought. I was like, okay, if I could just go around with my cards, it makes it, you know, easier because, you know, you don't have to pay for a booth and all of that. But it's totally worth it. If you really want to move cards and you have stuff that people really want, set up at a show. Set up.
Was this a big show? Like, how many tables were there?
There were at least, I don't know, I'll text the owner of the show. He's really responsive. I would say probably like 50 to 100. It just depends. I mean, it was such a blur for me because I was so busy interviewing and I had to edit the interview and get it out. Mm-hmm. So it was tough because I didn't really get a chance to explore like every booth. But I would say probably anywhere, I would say, I guess, 40 to 50 maybe set up. And it was a ton of fun, especially if it's a smaller show. I would set up. If it's a bigger show, you know, there's just so many more tables, and like a bigger showcase is just going to drown you out. And also,
is it expensive? Is it expensive to set up a table like at a show like this?
So this one was to have one table. It was $50.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
And if you wanted a second table, like let's say like you had a huge showcase or whatever, it's 100 or something like that. And so it was totally worth it. And it was a little bit easier for me because you know, I had like viewers at the show. But they weren't the ones buying for me. My stuff was relatively liquid because it was an LSU market and I have a bunch of LSU PC stuff. I know if I were to set up at the Dallas card show I'm going to this next weekend, it wouldn't be as liquid because like for instance, I sold one of my favorite Devin White cards. Well, I'm in Devin White country. The show was in North Louisiana where he's from. So people really want Devin White cards. Yeah, it made it a little bit easier, but if you really do have liquid stuff and you have big burrows you want to unload, especially now, as we're leading up into the playoffs, I think it is well worth it to set up at a card show, especially if you have football stuff in this January, December area, because people want to buy football. Football is king right now. So I'm going to try and do that every year now just to make sure I can, you know, liquidate like some of the, you know, the football collection that I had. So yeah, I mean, being a dealer at a card show gave me a newfound love for what goes into it. It was a lot of fun. It really was. Dude, everybody wanted football. And I know I'm in Louisiana, so you know, Louisiana is a football state. It's not an NBA state, as much as I love my Pelicans, especially in like North Louisiana, because we were in the northwest corner of Louisiana, so Shreveport, Bossier area. That's 2 hours from Dallas. So that's why, you know, DCI was there and people were buying, man. Lots of kids, you know, buying. And also something else that I learned, if a kid buys from your showcase and their dad pays for something, have something for the dad as well, right? Hmm. Because that makes both of them really happy. So, like, if a kid really wanted, like, Garrett Nussmeier, right? He's a backup quarterback at LSU. He's played some. A kid really wanted one of my Garrett Nussmeier cards. Well, the dad knows that, you know, Garrett Nussmeier is really good, but he can transfer. There's a lot of different things can happen. So I would give him a Burrow-based card, or I would give him one of my PHL shirts. And that way, you know, he feels really good about it. And
man, you sweeten that deal, brother.
Sweeten the deal. But this worked, okay? So I am not a dad like you. I am not a dad like you. But what made the dad so happy is – you know, like whenever someone just sells a card, they treat it as a business transaction. I want to treat it as an experience, right? So if a kid really wanted a nice card, right? Of course, I would sell it for less because it's a kid or whatever. But also do this. Tell the dad, hey, has he been really good, right? So now the dad can say, hey, that guy sold it to you because I told him you were being good. So now you got to be good. The rest of it. And so many dads lit up when I did that. They're like, oh, my God, I'm buying this card for my kid. He might chew on it later. He might drop it and the dog eat it. But I know he's going to be good now. And that makes him, you know, very happy. So I enjoyed being a dealer. I thought that was a different experience. I never thought of myself as a car dealer. I'm not a brick and mortar. I'm proud of my collection. It's grown quite a bit. But being a dealer at a card show will change how you view the hobby. I did not think it would. I thought I would not like it, but man, it was a ton of fun. It really was.
We're going to have to get a table in at the National, man.
Most definitely. Well, and that's what I was going to talk to you about. Cause I don't like, even it's cool because, like, let's just say you go and you do set up like a table and it does cost money. Even if you don't make the money back, there's a place where you can like set your stuff down. There's a place where, like, let's just say you and I had a table at the National, you can go and walk around and do whatever for an hour or so, and I could just stay and do all the deals and vice versa. It does make it a little bit easier for you. And you also have skin in the game yourself, right? Because it does make you, for me, I like when I went to this same show and I didn't have a setup, I was a little bit more laid back and I was carrying around my case and all that stuff. But if you do set up as a dealer, you do, there are some benefits where other dealers like look at you as like an equal, right? They're like, okay, he also is set up here. He also put in the work for bringing all his stuff and I have to bring all my camera equipment and all of that too. So my guy Will at Sports Cards, or We Got Cards 318. He actually gave me a card display. He just gave it to me.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And those help out too. When you have like a card display, it's harder for people to rob your cards as well. I was so paranoid about that. And the guy who was putting on the show really wanted me to bring my Tyrann Mathieu 101 Black Finite. I just couldn't do it, man. Because if that card got stolen, I would have like jumped into an erupting volcano. But yeah, man, it was such a unique and fun experience. And now going to Dallas, I'm not going to be set up at a card show. I'm going to be the hunter, if you will. I'm going to be the one, you know, carrying some stuff around. Also
on the prowl.
On the prowl, baby. One final thing. This was strange. So like I wear my Liverpool hat on here because I know like I got all the LSU stuff in the background. But you know, I have these Power Hour LSU hats and somebody just really wanted some. And you know, I brought some there to sell and he just didn't like, he had already bought like a few shirts and all of that. So he came up to me and said, hey, how many hats can I get for this Barry Sanders BGS 10 autograph card? And he was like, can I get two hats and two shirts for that? And I was like, sign me up. I've always wanted a Barry Sanders autograph card. So that's the thing. You know, he was also a dealer and he was set up right next to me. And I talked to him quite a bit. He had a very good Bob Lilly collection, kind of random. But he cut me, obviously, you know, he just really, you know, liked the shirts, liked the setup, liked the show and all of that. And he gave me this Barry Sanders card for a few bucks or a few shirts, honestly. So yeah, man, it was crazy. I'm going to share a bunch of other stuff during this episode. How was your weekend, man? How are we getting ready for playoff sales?
Oh, dude, we're getting ready. So many guys posting up flips of the week right now on the Discord server. I've got two cards to mail out, and I've got more to get listed. I've got a Daniel Jones Silver Prism here that I sniped like 2 days after Christmas for right under $20. Dude, I got this for in an auction. Right under 20 bucks, man.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. So I got that listed. I got this Treylon Burks. Check out this Treylon Burks.
Let's go.
Red auto. This is numbered out of 25, dude. And I got this for under 20 bucks as well.
Dang, you made it like a bandit.
Yeah, I got a really good deal. Sniped it in auction, so that's not a playoff flip. That's a hold. But, yeah, man, we're rocking and rolling, brother. What do you think about the lights? Do you see the lights?
I was going to comment on that. I didn't know this became the Andy, a.k.a. Tiesto. a.k.a. Well, actually, not Tiesto, a.k.a. Steve Aoki.
Yeah.
But I freaking love it, man.
I love the way it illuminates, like, the cards. I got to change in color. I got a little remote for it that I can change all kinds of different settings. But right now, I just got the vibe going, like, smooth flow between the colors.
And also, you see in the background, I have the fantasy football GOAT.
Got the right LT here. Jersey up.
But I also had it up yesterday because TCU.
Those Horned Frogs, man. But... Ew.
Bro, I know you went to bed after looking at the first quarter. Them dogs, boy. Them dogs.
Yeah. How high do you think their QB will go in this draft?
I'm gonna talk about him today. If not today, I'll talk about him next week. It is interesting, right? Because he's older than I think half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, which is crazy. Like, that's just nuts. I think he's older than Lamar, honestly, which it's crazy. He's 25. So, like, he's older than obviously all the rookie QBs, obviously older than, and then the next class, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields and Mac Jones and all those guys. It's crazy. And I don't know. I've never actually looked at his autograph cards, but
pulls him up.
Like, he'll never be known as an NFL quarterback unless he Brock Purdy's somewhere. I'm also going to be furious if Brock Purdy wins Rookie of the Year. Furious.
Who do you think should get it?
Well, I was going to ask you that. I guess Garrett Wilson, maybe. I don't know.
He's in contention. I think you could also put Kenneth Walker there. I think you could put. It's too bad Aiden Hutchinson or the Lions got eliminated from the playoffs because Aiden Hutchinson actually led the league in QB pressures this year as a rookie. So. That you got to put him up there. You do got Kayvon Thibodeau, but I don't think his season has been at quite as good as Hutchinson's, and it hasn't been good enough for Rookie of the Year. So I think, yeah, Garrett Wilson's definitely up there. But Brock Purdy is definitely going to be in that conversation, man, because of how good he's played since he's taken over that starting job. I mean, he ranks first in the NFL in multiple categories since taking over the starting job. It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's just a complete Cinderella story. Like, if there was a Cinderella story, this is it. So, it's going to be wild to see how good he plays in the playoffs. I mean, there's really, really good, juicy storylines here for the playoffs. I pulled up this graphic from the 33rd team. Apparently, using their formula, which I guess is part of the same formula that PFF uses to do their power rankings.
Yeah.
They predicted 24 of the last 25 Super Bowls correctly.
Okay.
once they got down to the playoffs. So these are the teams that they're basically narrowed it down to is who they see as having the edge and have the highest probability of making the Super Bowl from both conferences.
Love it.
Which is wild that Trevor Lawrence is up there. I mean, and Justin Herbert, Joe. I mean, just the you have everybody except for Kirk Cousins is really, you know, all the quarterbacks from all these teams are really hyped up and have like a ton of demand and high resale values, except for Kirk Cousins, and then probably Jalen Hurts, but Trevor Lawrence is up 40-50%. Herbert's not up to where he was at before the season. I looked at it yesterday, like, and it just goes back to how much hype was baked in. Like, he already had MVPs, deep playoff run, all that kind of stuff baked into his values coming into the season. So there was literally, if he did anything but play at an MVP level, plus win-loss ratio being super high like the Chiefs, his cards were going to go down, bottom line, you know? Whereas Joe Burrow came in with the appendicitis, came in with more. Yes, I feel like Burrow comes in every season with question marks. He kind of flatlined a little bit, and then he's just taken off, you know? And it helps that he was there last year, and they look like, I mean, I think we can kind of talk about the fact that now that DeMar Hamlin is recovering and doing really well, which is awesome, the Bengals scored on the Bills in the first 2 minutes in that game. They marched right down the field and scored on them, and they're about to score again, what seemed like whenever DeMar Hamlin got injured. So I think the Bengals are like a force to be reckoned with. And they beat Kansas City three times, right? So they've got Kansas City's number right now. Like, they're the only team that's beat Kansas City like that. So it's such a juicy storylines to follow. But I love this Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert matchup this weekend. That's just so exciting, man.
I love it. I can't really talk about Burrow on here because, you know, it's just going to come off so biased. Like, it just does, but like, he's just so good, man. Like, it doesn't make sense how good he is at football. Here's one thing I find very interesting about Joe is Mahomes better than him? Yes. Is Allen better than him? Yes. It's not by infinity that they're better than Joe, though. And I feel as if people feel like Joe is the most like Brady, if you get what I'm saying. Like, because, you know, all the other, you know, QBs that you have like listed in that playoff tier was Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence. They all have one thing in common, that they have some type of freak athleticism attached to them. Some as runners, some as throwers, some as both. And Joe just doesn't have that. He's just the most elite processor you're ever going to see. He's deadly accurate. He's deadly prepared. He's so smart. His pocket mobility is so good.
It's so good. He's an escape artist, dude. That's the one thing he's got well over Brady. I mean, this guy, he escapes from pressure like a Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or something. You know, it's crazy. Some of this pressure I see him get out of.
He's just really freaking good. And yeah, I mean, you can make a case his receivers are the best out of any of those guys, but man, he's just so freaking good at football, man. There's just no other way around it. And I hope one day I can afford to buy some of his higher end stuff, but we'll wait until, you know, I become big money, Steve Aoki level collection. But yeah, I'm interested to talk about these QBs going in, you know, the Purdy hype cycle, and all that good stuff. And I'm glad Purdy is doing what he's doing because it's going to help hobby values for sure. I am going to be interested to see what his print runs are going to be. I'm sure we can already look that up, but I'm going to be so interested to see how much Purdy product will get produced.
I was not expecting him to be as highly printed in Mosaic as he is, which kind of shocked me. He's in Mosaic quite a bit, and I know they print based on draft capital. So, and I know that they probably have to start manufacturing these sets well in advance, but it really does seem like they last second added him in. I don't know, or increased his print run and variety.
I think everybody in the hobby wouldn't mind them just pushing back product just to put him in. I don't know how they could do that, but yeah, it's just crazy. I saw someone buy the serial numbered match card of his college uniform, and they bought it for like $100, and once he started playing, they sold it for $1,000 immediately. College uni, Iowa State. And you know, one thing I think about a lot, Andy, so, and I know this is like just totally random, but I had the opportunity to trade a card for a coach's autograph, right? So it was a Lincoln Riley on-card autograph of him in his Oklahoma days from Immaculate. And it is interesting, like, football coaches matter so much. It's not like the NBA, right? And NBA coaches matter too. I'm Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr, Ty Lue. I mean, those guys matter. But football coaches matter so much, and I would be interested in buying a Kyle Shanahan autograph card, because would Brock Purdy be doing this on, like, could he lift the franchise like Joe did with the Bengals, like Trevor Stone with the Jaguars? No. And Kyle Shanahan is clear and away the best coach in the sport right now. And I know that's controversial. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. There's a lot of different guys you can mention there. But Shanahan's assistants are the best. His quarterbacks, Jimmy G, no big deal. Trey Lance, no big deal. Brock Purdy was not good in college. He was not a good college quarterback. He was a fine college quarterback, but I never watched him and thought this guy would be the quarterback of one of the Super Bowl favorites. This guy would be leading an NFC team potentially to, and they were close to getting the one seed.
Mm-hmm. And now they have a very favorable matchup against the Seahawks, you know. Man, and with the way the seeding's done, as the highest seed gets to play the lowest seed, you know, they're not going to have to play the Eagles in the next round. They're probably going to get like a combination of the Bucks or maybe Dallas or maybe the Giants or something like that, you know. So it is interesting. I think they've kind of just favorites from a coaching holistic team standpoint, but Brock Purdy, like, making it so seamless. I mean, he's just making it so seamless. So seamless. George Kittle's having the best run of arguably his career with Brock Purdy than he's had with Jimmy G or Trey Lance, the limited sample with Trey Lance. And it's like, what do you do with Trey Lance? If Brock Purdy leads the 49ers to a Super Bowl, what do you do with Trey Lance next year?
Man, what happens to Trey Lance's card values?
Well, they're already in the tank. They're already in the pooper.
And your boy was wrong. That was one of my takes earlier this year. I was like, okay, they'll finish out the year with Jimmy G, bring Trey Lance back, and Trey would have more hype being the starter for the 49ers now. But even then, that's tanked now. I mean, I think you got to roll with Brock Purdy now. Especially if he wants a playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, because you still got him on the rookie, a cheap rookie deal for the next couple of years. And, you know, you could trade Trey Lance, I guess. And I honestly think two things will be true this year, Andy. This is going to be one of the weirdest NFL drafts ever. Ever. Okay? For two reasons. Number one, Justin Fields, right? Do the Bears draft Bryce Young while they have Justin Fields? Answer is probably no. The Bears are going to trade back to a team that's going to really want Bryce Young. Whoever that may be, I don't know. But what if the Bears don't? What if they do decide to draft that? And then you also got the Eagles with all the draft capital that they're going to have. What are they going to do? You know, there's so many good receivers in this draft that they can get a number three, a good number three. Whether that be Kayshon or Jordan Addison or somebody like that. I'm going to love this NFL draft so much because there's just so many weird storylines surrounding this one. But yeah, I'm just so excited for this playoff run too.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I think there's going to be some very big trades, some really dramatic trades that happen around the draft this upcoming year with the way this is kind of shaking out. There's so many polarizing opinions on the Bears, the Texans. You got coaching changes. They finally fired Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. So I'm like, I want to get your take on, does that mean it's like open season to buy Kyler? Because we know his cards are in the tank. I mean, they're probably more in the tank than Trey Lance even from what I see.
Quick funny story. The last report card show, I haggled the seller. His name's Clint. He's a seller in Texas to get like a super low price on this really nice Kyler Murray card I have back here. And I made eye contact with him at the show again. And I'm like, I'm still holding this thing, man. I still got hope. He's a cool dude. He laughed it off. I mean, here's what I think. If for some reason they hire Sean Payton, Kyler's cards are going to sky freaking rocket just because of Sean Payton. I really do believe it. I really do. And I know people don't like Kyler. He does not come off well. You have really respected guys like Patrick Peterson saying what he said about Kyler. Hobbyists don't like buying guys that they just don't care for, right?
It's a lot to do with likability, social media popularity, how you come off on the screen.
But I'm telling you, if Sean, because look, if I was Sean Payton, I would not go to the Broncos. I just wouldn't. I would go to the Cardinals, where they don't have a GM. So if you hire Sean and you hire a GM, no matter who that GM is, Sean is going to have more power than that GM, right? So let's just say the Cardinals are able to convince Sean Payton, they trade with the Saints. I don't know if they would trade pick number five. I don't know how exactly that would work, but let's just say that they get Sean Payton and they hire like Louis Riddick, who's obviously, you know, got a huge following as their GM. People would be fired up about that, right? And they'd be like, God, I got to get my hands on some Kyler. So I am still a believer in Kyler. I know he's small. I know he's injury prone. But when he's hot,
he's hot.
He's hot, man. I'm telling you, he is fun. He has a lot of fun.
But if Sean Payton did go to Denver, would there be any spike in Russell Wilson, you think? Is there any coming back from this season for Russell Wilson?
I mean, I think it would be brief, as there is with like every news cycle, but not really, man. Like, I just think he's too old, and I think people got burned, right? There was a little bit of a buying spree on Russ. I don't think people want older guys. I don't think people, how do people feel if they still held on to Matt Stafford cards and they didn't sell during that window? I don't know, but Kyler's younger. Kyler's going to play it out.
It'll take less of a heater from Kyler to generate the same demand it would for Russ. Russ would have to go on an absolute tear, just like, you know, 6-game win streak, MVP consideration, playoff run, you know, and in their division and everything. Oh man, yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
This guy just messaged me back. What do you want me to tell him to message you? Are you still interested in this card?
Yeah, I'll negotiate with him. What you want to send me his profile or just send me?
I'll let me see. Yeah, I could send you this guy's. Oh, I forgot you are on Facebook. Yeah, this is his name right here.
Yeah, I just don't ever. I barely get on Instagram. It's tough to maintain, find time for all the social media platforms with everything I got going on.
Well, you got a family. You got a treehouse built.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, go. I'm talking.
If I wanted to absolutely neglect my young children and my wife, yeah, I definitely have time for it. But
I just sent you a message with his name, Tom. Oh, let me see. I'm getting a weird call from Texas. Hold on, let me take it.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on? Hello. Hello. Oh. I thought that was him. It was actually like the city that he lives in. I thought that was kind of weird. My favorite thing about this All-Star card is it's a very pronounced neck roll on there. I wonder if there's any on, I've not even looked to see if there's any on eBay. What's the?
Yeah, I probably should do that, I guess. I just should do a little bit of comping research, but let me pull this thing up because it's just such a gorgeous card and it would look so good on the wall behind me. And I've been hunting a Mike Allstott auto for quite some time, and this one with the Super Bowl logo, the Super Bowl 37 logo or 36 logo, was it 30? It was 36, right?
And
37.
And you got the freaking neck roll too. That's what makes it so perfect.
Yeah, you gotta have the neck roll, man. If you didn't have the neck roll,
God, that auto, his auto is so beautiful.
For yeah, his black. Auto is sick. Check these out. Like, look at that flawless 20 out of 20 with the, I mean, yeah, his auto is just so sick. The Immaculate, like a little bit more, but they don't have the silver finish, it looks like.
Ooh, that one's sick. So this guy is at, This guy's at 60.
Yeah, there's one that's similar. Super Bowl 37, that's a pretty cool one for 50. That one's dope right there. That 4 out of 15 ruby with Mike Allstott doing a dive. That's so badass. I gotta beef up my Allstott PC, man. There's too many good cards out there. Like, he's been autoing some really nice cards.
I'm gonna be honest, though. I I'm not stumping for this guy. I don't care either way. If you actually decide to get this, I actually do like his better than all of these, though. I'm serious. Like, and Super Bowl. Yeah. I guess there's just not a.
Let me look under sold. It's hard to tell what set this is from. I think it's like a Panini VIP set or Panini.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, it almost looks like Panini VIP or maybe Rookies and Stars. I wonder if I should type out Super Bowl.
Yeah, I did. Oh, man, the cheapest one. And it's not even.
There we go.
Oh, 20 right? bucks?
That was November 16th, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll save that and then see if the guy will do. I mean, he'll probably hold it for 20.
There's another one, January 3rd. Here we go. Here's one just 7 days ago that ended for $23.50 plus $5 shipping, so $28. He may not be willing to part ways with his that cheap. That's but that tells me I could be patient and find patient. One.
Yeah, there you go. Another reason to set up at a card show.
I mean, that's one of the things I find so fascinating. Like, you have to be super knowledgeable because it's going to be hard to do that comping process that quick in person because you feel that pressure, you know?
Right.
And some guy's looking at you like, well, you want it or not? And you're like, hold on. He's like, sees you doing research and this and that. It kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you have to have a concrete strategy in mind. You also maybe need to say, oh, I'll come back. I want to make sure I walk around to the entire show. I'll come back. I'll think about it, you know, and then while you're walking around, you can look up, you know, on your phone, on the eBay app and see some comps have gone for. Man, they got some really cool, flawless Mike Allstott cards, though.
That's nasty.
It's so nasty. I mean, like this golden age, man, he looks so jacked in this. And you got the old creamsicle uniform. That Mike Allstott picture. Yeah, buddy. No, there is not a single fullback in the league that is as good as Michael. I mean, he's got to be one of the best fullbacks of all time.
Yeah, and he's just iconic. You know, a lot of people are going to remember him, right? Like, he's everybody knows who Mike Allstott is. Like, And, you know, Mike Allstott and Jerome Bettis. I mean, how many running backs are you ever going to see like those guys again? Just never.
Yeah, they just don't make them like that anymore, man. And the roles aren't there for him. Like, the closest guy I can even remotely think of is maybe like a Kyle Juszczyk or something, but he's not as thick as these guys, and he doesn't quite have the role, but he does have a nice little receiving role carved out for him in San Fran. He's kind of been put in a squeeze, though, since Christian McCaffrey came in.
Right.
And now I think you get Elijah Mitchell back, too. So that team is just stacked right now.
And I would be remiss before we start recording. My prayers go out to Peyton Hillis. We need Peyton to pull through, man. Did you see what he did?
No.
He almost drowned, saving his kids. His kids were caught in like a tide. So he's like in critical condition.
Oh, crap, man. Former NFL star Peyton Hillis in ICU after saving his kids from drowning. This is 17 hours ago.
We need Peyton to pull through, man.
What the hell?
We need him to pull through. I love me some Peyton Hillis. Another SEC legend.
Well, did he save his kids?
Yeah. I think the kids were saved. I think what I read was he just, while saving them, he just consumed so much like salt water. So yeah, Peyton Hillis.
Well, yeah, they were drowning in the ocean. Oh man, he's dealing with kidney. Oh, because he drank all that salt water.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude!
We need Peyton to pull through, man. You want to talk about the most obscure Madden cover athlete, video game athlete of all time? It's Peyton freaking Hillis.
Wow, I miss this story, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he was jacked.
But,
well, I'm glad he saved the kids. I'm sure that, you know, he feels whatever. Obviously, his condition, that sucks. But, I mean, he saved his kids, you know. I'm sure he would be willing to lay his life down to save his kids. I would. I would just imagine. I'm sure, you know, he had no reservations when he jumped in to save his kids, you know.
Oh, I know.
I hope he pulls through. People are buying Herbert right now.
All right. So yeah, let me know when you're ready and we'll steer the ship.
All right, brother. I am ready.
Let's freaking go.